Did you bring your Bible with you today?
Yes.
Let's go to 1 Peter, please. First Epistle of Peter. First Peter 1 and verse 7. We're in faith. We've prayed. We've sown seed. Are we in faith for revelation?
Yes.
Are we in faith for truth that makes us free?
Yes.
We are. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's talking about our faith after having been tried. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Like all the scripture, it's just loaded with life and truth and revelation. Our faith is precious. Everybody say precious.
Precious.
Precious. No such thing as having too much faith or developing too much in faith. That doesn't exist. But our faith is tried. And it must stand the test and stand the trial. And if it does, it comes out shining, gleaming, like refined gold. And that faith will be praised by the Lord in time to come. You remember when the Father spoke over Jesus and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased." Well, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He's pleased with Jesus' faith, among other things. And he will, that is the Father praising his faith. Come on, can you see this? Are we also sons of the Most High? Would our faith please him? I know it's a high thought, but would the Father praise your faith? Whatever Jesus said and did was and is a direct revelation of the will of the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the times that he was most impressed is when he looked at people and said, "Woman, great is your faith." Man, I hadn't seen like faith like that throughout the whole day. Is he praising their faith? Well, we're not just hearing a man praising something. Is the Father speaking through him? And so the Father praises faith. And he goes on to say that faith would be found after it is tried. It might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Those of us who stood and having done all to stand, continued to stand and would not quit and would not turn loose of our faith in him and in his holy word in every area of life. Others might have scoffed. Others might have mocked. It might not have appeared that we did the right thing to some in our lifetime. But when it's all said and done, it will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see him, we'll be like him. The world doesn't see us, doesn't discern us, but it will. Everybody will. Our faith will be acknowledged by the Most High God. And he will praise it. Now, this is some high thoughts, isn't it? But this will not happen until after our faith is tried. The trial of your faith. Somebody say, the trial of your faith. But he goes on to say, verse 9, that once your faith is tried, the result is, verse 9, read it out loud with me, is what? Receiving the end of your faith. Receiving. Somebody say, receiving. This is not just standing and talking and confessing and nothing ever happens. This is something happened. It came to pass. You received your miracle. You received your needs met. You received your bills paid. You received. It happened. Your vision came to pass. You received the end result, the produce, the fruit of your faith. It was tried, but it stood the test. It was tried, but it was proven. And when it was proven, it produced. I think a fella could preach in here this afternoon. You're with me now, right? You're going to help me with this. This is very, very important. Skip on down just a few verses to the 23rd verse, the same chapter. It says, being born again. Anybody in here been born again?
Yeah.
Or are you happy about it?
Yeah.
Don't lose the joy of your salvation. Back in that previous passage, he talked about rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that is evidence of faith that is passing the test. When you quit rejoicing, it's indication that your faith is not passing the test. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You show me someone whose faith is passing the test and they are continuing to be strong in faith, their joy is undaunted. Their joy persists. But someone who is beginning to get depressed and beginning to get down and beginning to feel sad and beginning to question, well, I wonder why, and I wonder how come, and I wonder why not, and I just need somebody to help me and prop me up, and I just ain't feeling so good today. That is faith that is failing the test. It is being tried and failing. And when your faith does not pass the test, and if the trial of your faith shows that your faith failed, then you don't receive the end. It wasn't proven, so it doesn't produce. Said out loud, faith proven, results produced. So your faith is tried, your faith is proven, and then the results are produced. Can you say glory to God? He said being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now I know, it'd be very hard to find another group that believed more in the value and integrity and power of the Word of God than this group right here. Huh? I know. I don't have to crank on you. I don't have to tell you three times that the Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is incorruptible. The Word of God is infallible. Heaven and earth will pass away, but that Word is here to stay. Not going anywhere. Cannot fail. I know this group knows that. And so with a word like this, that word will always produce results. No. Wrong. Wrong. Jesus revealed to us multiple situations and multiple causes to why the word would not produce results in people's lives who heard it. Didn't he? Wow. From here to here. 5 seconds. Matthew 13. The word always produces results in everyone who hears it is not true. It's not true. Just because you hear the word, just because you hear a powerful word, just because you hear the anointed, life-changing word of God, does not assure there will be results. Jesus went into great detail to teach us this, didn't he? The parable, we call it the parable of the sower. You could call it the parable of the seed. But Jesus taught it. And he went into great detail. We know that just a fraction of what Jesus taught is recorded for us. And of the things that he actually went into detail and taught, he said to his disciples, if you don't know this parable, how will you know all parables? So is he saying to us, this is the granddaddy. This is everything in the kingdom operates on this principle. And he told us the kingdom of God is like. And he kept referring to seed, 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 seed. Seed sown in the ground. Let's read it in Matthew 13. And let's read it like there are things here that we haven't seen and heard, because there are. We have not exhausted all the light from this passage. We're in faith to see new things, right? We're in faith to get more, to see more. Matthew 13. Verse 3. Jesus spoke many things to them in parables. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some seed fell on the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now here we see three different situations where the word of God, the incorruptible, living, unfailing word of God, was sown into people's lives. And how much results did they get? None. Is it possible to hear the word of God and get no results? Yes. No matter how anointed it is, no matter how powerful it is. But other, verse 8. I said, but other. Other fell on into good ground. Somebody say, good ground.
Good ground.
Reckon there's some good ground in this place in here.
Yeah.
Good ground. Good ground. Good ground. And brought forth fruit, some and hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. If you can hear it. If you got ears to hear it and receive it, take it. Get it. Receive it. 30-fold. Results. 60-fold. Results. 100-fold. Overflowing. Results. But there was stony ground, no results. Wayside ground, no results. Thorny ground, no results. And it was the same word. Same good word. He said that the trial of your faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say this, when the light comes, faith is there. You don't have to work faith up. Faith comes by hearing. Not just mechanically hearing by the word of the Christ, if you look up that verse. It talks about the anointed. It's the anointed word that if you're open to it and hear it, you'll see it. The light comes in, the entrance of His word gives light, and when the light comes in, the faith is there. People say, I see it. Glory to God. That means you have heard the word and the faith has come and the faith is there. But that's not the end. That can happen and no results ever come. No healing, no needs met. Are you with me, friends? Because your faith has to stand the test. I got three people with me. Shouldn't say that. Three amens. A lot more people than that with me, I know. Is there such a thing as the trial of your faith? Will your faith be tried? And what if your faith doesn't pass the test? It makes no difference how many good conferences you were in, how many good series you listened to, how many notes you took. That will enable you to get to faith. You'll hear the word. You'll see the light. The faith comes in, but that's not the end. That's the beginning. And your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tried. But your faith can pass the test. It can come out gleaming like refined gold. And that faith that passed the test will be praised by God in the day to come. And that faith receives the end of it, the results. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You hear people sometimes, they get up in arms about 100-fold. And they go, well, I don't believe in 100-fold. What do you believe in 60-fold? Well, I don't know. You 30-fold? 20? 2.5? The thing that people say, well, I've never experienced any 100-fold that I know of. Well, I know a folk who have. There's one right there. There's a bunch of us in here. But reaping is not automatic. And it's not just left up to the Lord. And if you don't believe in 100-fold, well, that explains it right there. Huh? If you don't believe in it, you're not going to be bothered with it. But there are several factors that affect our reaping or our results, the results that the word produces in our life. And there are numerous people that hear the same good anointed word and get no results. People ask the question, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? Why didn't it work? Why isn't it working? Well, the Lord gave us three different explanations and areas of why it didn't work for them. And there's good news here today in the Word. If you've asked that question, why isn't it working? The answer is right here. I said the answer is right here. Makes me want to sing. The answer's here. The answer's here. Glory to God. The answer's here. The answer's here. He'll make it clear. There's no need to fear. The answer's here. Come on, are you with me now? Somebody say, the answer's here.
The answer's here.
He'll make it clear.
The answer's here.
No more sadness.
No more fear.
Hallelujah. The answer's here. The answer's here. It's here. Why didn't it work for them? Now see, I have had people write us ugly letters, and I've heard people say similar things like, well, that just doesn't work for everybody. I tried that. I tried that faith healing stuff, and it didn't work. I tried that tithing. I tried that giving, that sowing seed. It didn't work. I tried it. Well, these folks could have said it didn't work. Wayside ground didn't work. Huh? Stony ground didn't work. Thorny ground didn't work. But where people in their ignorance and their pride are missing it so bad is that they have the audacity to say the word didn't work. When it never was the word that was being tried. Our text did not say the trial of the word. What did it say? Come on, what did it say? The trial of your faith. Turn with me to Psalm 105. The answer's here. Oh, the answer's here. Thank you, Lord. If you believe the answer is here, it makes you happy. It makes you glad. Why? We're going to find out. Somebody said, why hadn't it been working? We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Jesus explained it to us a long time ago. He told us there'd be several cases and scenarios where it wouldn't work. Where no results would be produced. Didn't he? Yeah. People say, well, so-and-so, and it didn't work. We go, hey, no surprise. Jesus told us. But it is never God's failure or the word's failure. In Psalm 105 and verse 19, talks about a man named Joseph. It says, verse 19, Psalm 105, 19. Until the time that Joseph's word came to pass. And when we say time, we're talking about years. Somebody say years.
Years.
Years. Until the time that his word came, what happened?
The word of the Lord was trying him.
He was trying the word?
No.
No. The word of the Lord tried him. And his faith in that word was tried. And it was tried.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
He was Papa's baby boy. fancy clothes. And his brothers sold him for a slave. Fella could get bitter over something like that. You know, you could develop an attitude. It's like, man, I never hurt you guys. And he winds up Potiphar's property, like a cow or a horse. But something kept him up. Something kept him from getting bitter, resentful, holding grudges. What was it? The Lord gave him a word. Gave him a word in a vision, in a dream, and he believed that word. And even after he was sold into slavery, he still believed that word. Didn't he? We know he did because he had such a good attitude and he had such faith and he had such wisdom. Potiphar put him in charge of everything he had. And the Bible said as a slave, Joseph was a wealthy man. A slave. If you'd have seen Joseph coming down the road, he's got gold-plated chariot wheels. He's got a nice suit. He's got, you go, and then somebody say he's a slave. You go, no. Yes, he is. He's Potiphar's property. No. Yes, he is. If he'd have been bitter. See, when you're unthankful, Romans says it darkens your understanding. It makes you dumb. The reason he could turn Potiphar's thousands into millions is because of the wisdom of God. Amen. You don't do that. You don't get that being dumb. You can't be depressed and brilliant. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't focus on the negative. You can't focus on what your family did to you. You can't focus on your present situation. You can't focus on the prejudice against you. You can't focus on that. Don't do it. God told you something. He has given you a word. He gave you a vision. It produced faith in you. And all that's happening is your faith is being tried. And it can pass the test. Years went by. Everybody say years. Years. And then Potiphar's wife, lying heifer. Lied on him. Told her husband. He tried to rape her. And her husband believed this lying wife. And he grabbed him and threw him in the darkest dungeon. And Joseph was faithful to Potiphar. He was faithful to him. He took what he had and he doubled it and he tripled it and he never stole from him. And when his wife came on to him, he said, look, Potiphar has trusted me. He's put everything in my hands except you. And I can't betray that trust. I can't do that. He was faithful to the man. And what did he get for his faithfulness? Betrayed. Kicked to the curb, thrown in a dark cell with no hope of parole. When you go to the king's prison, Pharaoh's prison, nobody will even represent you. He could have got bitter. I said he could have got bitter. He could have got down. He didn't. I know he didn't. From the word, let me read it to you in Genesis. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it to you. Genesis, Joseph is in the dungeon, 40th chapter, the 6th verse. The Pharaoh's baker and his butler's been thrown in the dungeon with him. Joseph now is in charge of the whole prison. Now, if he had been bitter, would this have happened?
No.
Something is keeping him up. And we can see it right here. Joseph arrived in the morning. And he's noticed they were feeling low. So he asked them, "What's wrong? Why the long faces?" You got to remember where they are. Huh? And Joseph pops in and goes, "Morning. What's wrong with y'all? All sad and depressed. What's the matter?" They could have said, "Well, we're in this stinky dungeon. No hope ever getting out. Maybe executed end of the week." He was in the prison, but the prison wasn't in him. He was in bondage, slavery, but the bondage was not in him. It could not get in him. And the Bible says, until the time of his word came, that word tried him. His faith was tried. Time tries trust. When it goes on month after month, year after year, seem like other people are doing better and you're further away from when you started. And if you begin to toy with those thoughts of why and how come and why not already and how could it ever happen anyway, and you begin to lose your joy, you begin to get down, sad, that is indication your faith is failing the test. People say, I tried that. It didn't work. No, honey, it tried you, and you quit. You failed the test. Do you know the Bible said that the word has already been tried? Come on, Psalm 18:30. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 18:30 says, "For God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." Not being tried. It already has been tried. Amen. Psalm 12:6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." The word of God has been tried, tested, proven, refined. It's not the word on trial here. It's us. It's not the word being tried, being tested. It's our faith in that word. He mentions one type of individual represented by good ground. Their faith passed the test. The word of the Lord tried them. And nothing could make them turn loose of it. And they reaped 30-fold. Oh, you're not happy enough about 30-fold. 30-fold. 30-fold is good. Come on, you're not 100-fold or nothing now. I mean, the Bible says 30-fold. 30-fold is good. If you 30-fold, you know, by the end of the year from where you are now, you won't take that? You won't take that? I didn't say you had to stop there forever. 30-fold, somebody say glory to God. 60-fold. 100-fold. But the Lord has already told us a lot of people who hear the word are not going to get that. Hasn't he?
Yes.
He's already told us. Now, I don't want to try to draw conclusions that are not there, but he mentions four types, three out of the four, no results. And they heard the same life-changing, anointed word, didn't they?
Yes.
The answer is here.
Yes.
Go back to Matthew 13. Let's get some answers. Because the good news is, wayside ground can become good ground. It's not like somebody is predestined to be stony ground. Just get the rocks out, dig a little deeper, good ground. Huh? Pull the weeds out, right? Water it real good. Now what used to be thorny ground is good ground. In chapter 13, they asked him about this parable. And he went into detail to explain to them. In verse 18, he said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not." Now, Matthew's the only one that uses that phrase. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this. And really, to get the whole story, you need to look at all three. Because each one will add a few things here and there that the other, you have to put them all together. "Understands it not. Then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." This individual heard the word, but it never got in them. Just like the seed would fall on top of the ground, it's not going to produce anything laying on top of the ground. It's got to get in. It's got to get past the surface, doesn't it? It's got to penetrate and get inside so it can germinate and put roots down and fruit up. The Old Testament quotes this at least two times I know of about putting roots downward and fruit upward. How many know you don't get the fruit up first? Get the root down, then you get the fruit up. But some have been afraid about the devil stealing the word out of my heart. It didn't say the devil dug the seed up. Do not fear the devil stealing the word out of your heart. He can't do it. Maybe I need to say that another three or four times. The word never got in them. It came, they heard it, but they never even understood what they heard. And so it's just laying on top of the ground, so the foul of the air come and just gobble it up. It never got in. And it's sad that so many hear the word, but to them it's just, you know, you would say it goes in one ear and out the other, but it didn't get that far. It just, it got on the, bounced off the one ear. It never got in. They never understood what they heard. It never penetrated. So there was never any opportunity for this incorruptible word to produce results in their life. Which is why it is so important to keep hearing.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Any of you that you heard a truth or something taught numerous times before you heard it. I know I had the privilege of sitting under Brother Kenneth Hagin's ministry in the healing school and some other places. It was my job for a while to monitor and review the video. And sometime then years later, I'd be looking at healing school video. And I was there on the front seat the years before. And I'd be listening to it and I'd think, glory to God. Look at that. I'd go get me a pad and I'd think, I must not have been there that day. And the camera would pan over and there I was on the front row. I was there. How did I miss this? But you know, as you grow, you're able to hear differently too. And that's why in the same passage the Lord talked about, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Luke talks about take heed how you hear. For the measure you meet is how it's going to be measured to you. The devil is the master of distraction. I know we had a young man that was staying with us, Phyllis and I, one time. We're trying to help him with some things. He was in a bad way. And took him to church with us. And just a few minutes into the message, the pastor that was speaking, he walked over to our side of the platform. He was just a few feet from where we were sitting. And he began to talk about some things that were Holy Ghost for this young man. I mean, it was exactly what he was dealing with. And it was the problem and the how you got there. And here's the answer, how to get out. And at exactly the same time, there was some kind of a little distraction in the back of the church. And this young man, easily distracted, he turned his head completely around. He's looking back, trying to figure out what's going back there. And man, I wanted to reach over and tap him on the shoulder. And the Lord prompted me, no, leave him alone. Just watch this. So the pastor goes into detail. I knew the minister didn't know. It was Holy Ghost. And he goes for probably 5 minutes or so, and it was, what's wrong? How you got here? Here's the problem, how to get out. And so he turns around and goes back to his podium, and the disruption in the back stopped, and the young man turned around. And I realized he did not hear one word of that. All the enemy had to do was go, hey, 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 and he goes, huh? And the Holy Ghost is talking. And as soon as he gets through, the devil goes, okay, you can turn back now. The word was Holy Ghost. It was anointed. It was life-changing. It was sown on him. It actually bounced off of his eardrums. But it never got in him. He didn't understand it. Didn't register on him. Never got in him. So no results. Friend, if we're going to grow up spiritually, we have to develop powers of concentration and focus. We have to learn to focus our mind and not let anything distract. When it's time to pray, it ain't time to do a bunch of other stuff. Turn everything off. Get your mind on Him. When it's time to get in the Word, when it's time to be in here, you're not thinking about what you're going to do after the service or fried chicken or how you're going to pay a bill or nothing. Huh? You are here. Here. Why? Because the next 10 minutes could be the answer you've been looking for 20 years. But now if you don't respect the word enough to do that, you'll be easily distracted and this will go on and you'll say, you know, we've all made mistakes in this area. You're sitting there nodding your head going amen, but your mind is in another state. Do you know what you missed during that time? No, you don't, because you weren't there. Some things, it's not that big of a deal. But when it comes to the things of God, how many think the Lord should have your full attention? Yes. Yes. If He's saying something to you, yes, it's time to sit up in your chair and have both eyes open. Right? And if somebody wants to do something, you go, not now. Yeah. Not now. Not now. Texting during the service. Nothing more needs to be said. Y'all stand up and stretch your legs just a minute. Stand up. Don't assume I'm done. Thank you, Lord. The answer's here. Oh, thank you, Lord. The answer's here. Thank you for making it clear. Oh, the answer's here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just praise Him some. Lord, we praise You. Your goodness endures forever. Oh, there's nobody like You. Thank You. Thank You how gracious You are, how good, how kind, how wonderful, how amazing. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did the Lord say that the word would produce results in everybody that heard it? No. He told us it wouldn't. But can you be good ground?
Yes.
And even if somebody has not been good ground, can you change and become good ground? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you listen while you stand up?
Yes.
He mentioned another type of ground that produced no results. Even though that wonderful, life-changing word came into their life, but it got further than with the first type. He said in verse 20, "He that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that hears the word and anon with joy receives it." So the word got in this person. And you could tell by the accompaniment of joy. This incorruptible word is the word of life. And life is accompanied with joy. When you're quickened, it makes you happy. Doesn't it? When you see the light gives you joy. Amen. And this man or this woman, they saw the word. I mean, it went off in them. That joy was expressed from them. And they received it. And the seed is in the ground. But verse 21, "Yet has he not root in himself, but endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." Everybody say offended.
Offended.
Offended is another way of describing faith failure. Your faith failed. You show me an offended, bitter person, I'll show you someone whose faith failed the test. The word tried them, and their faith failed the test. Offended, there's three basic definitions of the Greek word that I'm aware of. One of them is to trip up, to cause to stumble, to be ensnared. That's just the first one. But that is literal. And again, when there's literal, it's not always the major meaning that's being expressed. This one is the one I think you should focus on. It means to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom they ought to trust and obey. If you become offended, then you begin to distrust and desert one whom you ought to trust and obey. Jesus told the disciples at the end of his earthly walk, he said, "This night, you're going to be offended. And you're going to leave me and forsake me. Why? Should they have stuck with him? Was there any reason not to trust him? But when the pressure came on, and they didn't understand what was going on, their faith failed a test. Now they were able to recover. But you can be seated if you want to. The scripture says this individual didn't have roots. The first one, there was no reception, so there was no production. This one, there's no root, so there's no fruit. Before you can have fruit, you got to have root. Roots go down before fruit comes up. Just because you plant a seed, that's not the end. That seed begins to germinate. That seed begins to put some roots down. And it needs to put some roots on down. And the deeper the roots and the further they go, that's the more secure you are and the more trial and test you can handle. And how many know that there's a lot, before you see a little bud break through on top of the ground, a lot has already happened under the ground.
Yes, sir.
Hasn't it? The Lord explains to us this is exactly how His Word works in our life. This has always been the case, but I sense in recent times people talk about the troubles in the economy, and I know a lot of people have experienced challenges with their jobs and their finances. And the Word is being tried. Excuse me, your faith in the Word is being tried in these areas, and it is not time to start asking a bunch of unbelieving questions. It's time to get watered and stick those roots on down. And we can frustrate the enemy in that every time he brings pressure to bear, just like a hammer coming down on a nail, all it does is drive it deeper. And if the pressure and challenge comes, we just take a big slurp of the water of the Word and we stick down another 6 feet of roots. Come on, are y'all with me now? And the more folks holler and the more folks mock and the more folks contest and try to challenge, we just begin to get some IVs of the Word. And we're taking it on both sides and we're drinking it in the middle, and we just put down another 12 feet of roots all the way down in. And you get to the place where James can come to pass in your life, my brethren, count it all joy. When you got roots like that, people might see a few leaves being blowed around on the top of the ground, but they don't know. There ain't nothing to worry about. There's 40 feet of roots under there. The scripture said, let me read some other translations of this. God's Word translation says, verse 13 of Luke 8, some people are like the seed on the rocky soil. They welcome the Word with joy whenever they hear it, but they don't develop any roots. They believe for a while, but when their faith is tested, they abandon it. The NIV says they believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The basic English says they have faith for a time, but when the test comes, they give up. The complete English says as soon as life gets hard, they give up. And then they go off and say the Word didn't work. Ignorance. Pride. Why didn't it ever occur to them? Maybe they didn't do something right. Why has it got to be the Word's failure? The Word's fault. Praise God. Thank you. Easy to Read says they believe for a while. But when trouble comes, they turn away from God. Friend, the Word, living by faith, living in the Word, and you've heard Miss Gloria, you've heard Brother Kenneth, you've heard these folks around here over and over and over again talk about staying in the Word, remaining in the Word, staying in the Word. This is why. Rather than me trying to explain it, go to John. John, the 8th chapter. The first type of ground represents people who heard it but didn't hear it. And they didn't come back to hear it again until they heard it. A year or so ago, I was just thanking the Lord one morning. And I began to realize how many good meetings I've been able to be in. How many good messages Phyllis and I have heard. Thousands of some of the best teaching and preaching on the planet. Some of the best, I believe, that's ever been heard on the planet through all the generations. Thousands. And begin to realize there's people on the planet have never heard one faith message. And I begin to think, Lord, why have we been privileged to hear so much? And some have heard nothing and so little. And he answered me. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me. He taught me something, learned something through it. He said, son, he said, I knew you would value it. And he brought my mind back to some of the first messages I heard on faith and being redeemed. And it was by Kenneth Copeland and Miss Gloria Copeland back in the 70s. And I heard that we had been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hadn't got over it yet. Redeemed from the curse of the law. And how that all that poverty, which I was multi-generation poverty, was under the curse, and being sick was part of the curse. And I thought, glory to God. And I thought, man, my friends got to hear this. And so I took those little tapes and I took them over to my friends and I said, you got to hear these. And they said, was it music? I said, no, it's preaching. You listen to a tape with preaching? Yeah, man, you got to hear this. And they go, Ma, I don't know about that. I said, you got to hear it. And so I'd ask them in another week or so, did you listen to it? What do you think? No, I hadn't got around to it. What? You need to hear this. And so a week or two later, did you hear it? I listened to part of it. What? Well, what about it? Well, I don't know. You know, that's new to me. I never heard anything quite like that. What happened? That amazing word just fell on top. Come on, can you see this? And never got in. And so then they didn't have a desire to hear anymore. And I, after work every day, Phyllis and I are coming in, turning on our tape recorder and sitting there for hours and listening. And that's what got us to the place where we could answer the call. To have faith to believe we could do it. The Lord dealt with me. He said, I knew you would value it. And when we heard it and received it and treasured it, then he gave you more.
That's right.
And you shout over that, he'll give you more.
Yes, he does.
You shout over that. You quit shouting, you quit being thankful, and you'll quit receiving it. And I know there's people that think we're goofy and think we're nuts. And why in the world would you take time off work and pay your own way and come to sit on a chair all day? To hear preaching? And then put money in the offering too? I mean, But we value the living word. We're not going to be wayside ground. And we're not going to be stony ground. I'm not trying tithing. Phyllis and I and our church and our ministry committed to tithing years ago. That word of tithing has already been tried and proven. It's trying me now. And I'm purposed, I'm going to be faithful to it. But people will do something for a little bit and they'll sow an offering and they check and see, it's like going up and being prayed for and check and see, do I feel any better? Do I feel any better? Do I feel any better? Is any money coming? Is any money coming? I'll give the Lord another 2 weeks maybe. They're trying it. They think. But it's trying them. Can you see this? And so if you can be pressured to give up and quit, the enemy will see to it that enough comes your way that you throw up your hands and you lose your joy. And when persecution comes, for the word's sake. Because when you believe and stand on the things that we all believe and stand on, you're going to catch some persecution. We have had all kind of persecution about the prosperity message. Oh, man. People want to write you ugly grams. And they want to say all kind of things. But I am not ashamed of the gospel. And this is part of the gospel. It's good news that He took my sins. It's also good news He took my sicknesses and my pains. It's also good news He became poor so I could be made rich. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. That your faith in that will be tried. It will be challenged. And if you can't take some people talking about you and making fun or mocking or writing ugly things or accusing you of ugly things, if a little pressure, persecution will cause you to become offended and stop trusting what you should be trusting, then what will happen is that holy word will produce no results in your life. That'll be the end of it. And you can go off and you can write books about why it doesn't always work and this and that. But it is working for other people, just not for you. Because you quit. Can we go a little bit further here? Answers. Right here. As to why it has not worked in some people's lives. What's the next one? Matthew 13, are you there? Verse 20. He that received... Matthew 13 is where I am. Verse 20. He that received the seed into the stony places, he heard the word, he received it with joy. You know, it's not always the loudest shouters that go the distance. It's not always the folk that make the most noise when the truth came out that make it all away. This race is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's not about how quick you get off the line. Huh? It's about crossing the finish line. A lot of folk can get worked up and holler and hype for a few minutes or for a few days. But when the days turn into weeks and the weeks turn into months and the months turn into years, your faith is tried. And that's what separates men from the boys and the girls from the women. When you get up every day and it looks like you're further from it now than you were 5 years ago, but you just, I don't care if you got to find some toothpicks and prop up the corners of your mouth, you go, glory to God, the word is still true. It was true when I shouted about it 5 years ago. It's true right now. I will never turn loose of my faith in this living word. And you learn how to stir yourself up. You keep telling yourself, my faith is not going to fail the test. My faith is not going to fail this test. The trial of my faith is going to result in bright, gleaming gold that my Father Himself will praise one day.
Amen. Amen.
So any sufferings that we might endure are nothing to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. A little hardship, a little trial, a little time. Mm-mm. The next one he said, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Is there anything on this planet that could choke the incorruptible, infallible, life-giving Word of God in your life? You can allow other stuff to displace the Word. You can give it more of your time and your energies and your thoughts and your words than you do the Word. And whatever you water the most, whatever you spend the most time with, that's what's going to grow and get the biggest. Anybody ever done any gardening? The biggest plants, what do? The biggest plants suck up the water from the little plants. Biggest plants put out their foliage and get all the sun and block the sun from the other little plants. What has the ability to choke out, hold back the word from producing results in our lives? Read the list again. What did it say? Read it for me. Cares. Deceitfulness of riches. Lust, desires of other things. Let's go over those a little bit, because here, these are answers. Aren't they? Why isn't it working? This is an answer. Right here. That you could have been in all kind of good meetings. You could have heard all kind of good word. And yet get no results. Read that first one to me. What does it say? Cares. This is worry. This is anxiety. This is fear. Care of this world. Care. Friend, you've got to be. Help me to say this, Lord. There's got to be something inside you that's triggered by the first indication of fear and worry that makes you stand up with your full armor on and not give it one inch. The Lord has ministered this to me over the years and the decades, and I get more like this every day. And I know it to be right. It protects you. It gives the devil. The devil's always looking to get a place in you, to get something started, to get a crack in the door, to get begin to inch something. He's a patient cuss and a persistent rascal. He'll work on something for 20 years, trying to work it in, trying to get it in a little bit of fear, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of worry. And we live in a world where it's all around us. Fear is everywhere. Anxiety and worry. And if you want the word to produce results in your life, you cannot allow these weeds of fear and worry all around it. You got to pull them out. You got to grab them and say, no, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, none. I care if somebody's going through a problem. I want to help. But don't talk fear to me. I'll stop you. Don't talk worry to me. And you watch people that are yielding to this, they're in a loop. They'll tell you about it, then what will they do? They'll go over it again. Is everybody awake here?
Yes.
And then they'll tell you all the details of what's going on, and then what will they do? And you're sitting there thinking like, yeah, you already told me three times. And they will tell, if you stand there and listen to them, they will tell you the same depressing thing 12 times. Won't they? And you are doing them no favors listening to it and providing an ear to it. Once they tell you what the problem is, stop. Go, okay, all right, we got it. We know. Yeah, but then they say, I said we got it. Yeah, but maybe you need, no, I don't need to know. No, we got it. Why? Because if we keep watering this thing, if we keep talking this thing, it's going to grow and it's going to take up the space the Word is supposed to have in our lives. And we'll have more fear than we do faith. You've got to be diligent. You've got to be strong about it. When thoughts and feelings of fear come, man, you cannot let them sit there. You cannot let your mind toy with this. These thoughts are deadly. They're deadly. That's why the Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to what? These things have to be pulled down. Right? And casting down. Cast is a strong word. Thrown down. Throw it down. Go, no. I'm not worrying about that. I'm not worrying about my job. I'm not worrying about how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm not worrying about it.
Come on. Come on.
I can't talk that. I can't think that. I need to water the Word so I can put my roots down a little deeper.
Amen. Amen.
What else choked the Word out of their life? Deceitfulness of riches. Now this has been something the enemy has misled some people in our camps that believe in prosperity. Because we know the Lord wants us to enjoy good things. He's the God of abundance. But He is opposed to covetousness, which is idolatry. And if you think more about money and houses and cars and jewelry and stuff than you do building the kingdom, it'll choke the Word out of your life. Even you're supposed to be quoting scriptures and making confessions. I claim my new car, I claim my new car, I claim my new car. You don't need to say that all day. You don't need to have that on your mind all day. Say it once, forget about it, get your mind on helping somebody in the kingdom. Yeah. Right? Because there's a deception here that you can fall into of being mindful and reaching for and struggling for seeking the things. The Lord said if we'd seek first the kingdom, we don't have to seek the things. They'll be added to us.
Yes, sir.
It's deceitfulness. It's deceptive and it can choke the Word out.
Amen.
And what does the next one say? Lust or desires of what? Other things, things other than the Word. It's all right to have hobbies, to have fun, to do things that you enjoy, but they shouldn't take too much of your time. And your thoughts. I know one of the first nice new cars I got, It was nice. I wanted to keep it clean, so I was washing it, and get a little dirt on it, and I'd wash it. And I was over rubbing the hood one day, and this is years ago, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, "Son, if you don't quit spending so much time with this thing, I'm going to regret I let you have it." I stopped. I dropped the rag. I'm sorry, Lord. It's okay to enjoy a ball game. It's not okay to talk about it all the time. It's okay to enjoy shopping here, but shopping should not define you. It's okay to enjoy fishing or boating, but you better not be on the lake when you're supposed to be in church. Why? Because these things have the ability to choke the word out of your... Even though you've been to great meetings and you've heard great word, these things have the ability to keep that word from producing any results in your life. So when the Lord says, change that, back off on that, do it. Do it. Because I don't want anything taking up place the word's supposed to have in my life. Anything taken away from my focus on the word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You found John a while ago, didn't you? You want to read it now? John 8. Thank you, Lord. John 8, 31. Can you stay with me just a few more minutes here?
Yes.
I'm thinking about closing. John 8, 31, what did it say? Jesus said, those that believed on him, these people are with him. If, somebody say if. What's if mean? It means if you do this, it's a, if you don't, it won't. If you do what?
Continue.
Continue in my word. Then are you my disciples. Now there's people that heard a few messages or people that came to church a few times. Continue. And verse 32, you shall what?
No.
You shall know, you shall experience the truth, and that truth shall make you free. This is not just people that heard a message or two. Or that came to church a few times. So I tried that and I checked that out. Oh, it didn't do that much for me. I don't know what a big hype is. You got to stay after it. You got to stay in it. You got to stay, go where God sent you and stay where God stationed you. And be faithful. Because the Lord has a way. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. But he has a way of doing things that you don't expect, and he gets the glory for. It's the message you didn't think you were enjoying all that much. But instead of cutting off halfway, you listen to the whole thing, and the last 10 minutes changed your life. It was the meeting you almost didn't go to.
Amen.
The service you almost wasn't in.
Amen.
Come on, do you know what I'm talking about? And maybe the first part of it, or the first half of it, or what a portion of it was like you thought, I've known this, I've heard this 100 times. But because you saw it all the way through, you got into something that you had never heard and never seen. And that's not by accident. So the Lord said concerning this parable, they asked him, why do you teach us like this? He said, because as it's written, they have eyes, but they don't see, and they have ears that they don't hear. They're casual. They don't believe. There's no commitment. So they're not going to see it through. They're not going to get the good stuff. But the man, the woman that loves God enough, and they treasure His Word so much, is they'll get there early and they'll stay late. They'll endure the weariness of the flesh and the discomfort of the travel and every other thing, but they don't want to miss a thing. That's hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and you will be filled. Chapter 15 of John. Chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If, do you see it? If a man does what?
Abides.
The NIV says remains. Remain. I'm reading the NIV. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will do what? He will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. That's no fruit. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be given to you. If you do what? If you continue in His Word, if you remain. Somebody say remain. Are you quitting? Are you giving up? Are you unhooking? Are you going anywhere?
No.
I'm talking about with God and your walk of faith. How many, you're not trying anything out? You're committed to this thing. This Word has already been tried. Huh? Feel better? Look worse? Huh? I mean in life and in death. We're committed. Are we now? Are we committed?
Yes.
We're committed. We're laying hold. This seed, this incorruptible seed of the living Word gets into our spirit. We wrap both arms and both legs around it and we go, that's ours. That's ours. And if we don't see fruit for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, don't mean one thing. It's ours. It is an incorruptible, eternal Word of God. And the roots are a going down. And if the roots go down, the fruit comes up. Can you say glory to God? Somebody said, well, what? You know, what if I died trying to believe God? Honey, you don't want to die any other way than believing God. That means you'll slip out of your body. You'll go to see Jesus and you'll say, Lord, I was doing everything I knew how to do. He goes, I know it, baby. Come here. And then for the next 25 years, just every other day, you'll be going, oh. Okay. Oh, wow. No wonder. Oh.
Praise the Lord.
But you will know that let God be true and every man a liar. The Word never failed. God never failed. In Luke 8. Oh, thank you, Lord. Turn over there. Luke 8, down about verse 14. Luke adds this that the other writers didn't say. Actually, just skip down to verse 15. He said, but that on the good ground. Somebody say good ground.
Good ground.
Am I talking to some good ground?
Yes.
This afternoon? Are you good ground?
Yes.
What if somebody wants to tell you about it didn't work? It didn't work. So, the Lord said it wouldn't work in a lot of people's lives. But it works in my life. Huh? And it can work in your life too. You ought to go ahead and proclaim yourself to be good ground. Right here, right now, you ought to go ahead and throw your hands up and say, I am good ground. By the grace of God, I am good ground. Good ground. Glory to God. And even if you were wayside ground, you don't have to stay wayside ground. You can become, even if you were stony ground, thorny ground, you're not stuck in that place. You can become good ground. Now look at the key of being good ground. Luke 8:15. That on the good ground are they which in an honest... Somebody say honest.
Honest.
Now honest means if you see it, you don't act like you don't see it. And if you don't see it, you don't act like you do. The first... meeting Brother Hagin took me on in his crusades to speak several years ago. I was riding in the car with him, me and Phyllis, with him and Miss Aretha, and oh man, I thought we were pulling up to the building. It was a great crowd, and I thought, glory to God, riding in here with the man and woman of God. I just smiling like the cat that got the canary, man. I said, God, you are too good to this country boy. And I'm sitting in the front with the driver in the front, and Brother Hagin sitting right behind me, and Miss Aretha and my wife in the back. It was quiet in the car. I was thinking this, not saying it. All at once, he reaches up and grabs the back of my seat and just shakes it violently and goes, woo, 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 woo. I mean, I'm moving like this with the seat. And he says, boy, did you feel that? And, man, it was dark in the car, and I'm glad it was, because I know the color ran out of my face. And I thought, oh, man, it's over right now. He's going to find out just how unspiritual I am, because I didn't feel a thing. I paused an uncomfortable few seconds, and I said, no, sir. He barely laughed. He said, ha, me neither. But what if I had said, oh man, the prophet's having an experience in the back of the car. I feel like a piece of wet wood. I mean, this, what if I'd have said, oh, yeah. Then he really would have found out. Because there is nothing more unspiritual than dishonesty. Are y'all with me, folks? What kind of ground is good ground? What are the qualities of good ground? Honest. If you see it, don't act like you don't see it. If you knew you were supposed to do it and didn't do it, don't act like, oh, was I supposed to do that? I thought maybe you meant, no. No. Don't. You want to be good ground? You got to cut out all this pretend, all this phony baloney, all this junk. If you see it, you see it. Admit it. Acknowledge it. What you knew and what you saw. If you don't see it, Don't try to impress people your supposed spirituality. If you don't see it, you didn't see it. If you didn't hear it, you didn't hear it. And I don't care how many people is jumping on the bandwagon of this latest, greatest new revelation. If you don't see it in the Word, you don't see it. So don't jump on. Trust the Holy Ghost in you. Somebody say honest, honest. 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 And good heart, having heard the Word, what do they do? What do they do? They remain in it. They continue in it. They stay with it. And they bring forth fruit. That's the first time we've heard that phrase through that whole passage. Nobody else brought forth any fruit. Nobody else had a healing. Nobody else had a miracle. Nobody else got their bills paid. Not the wayside man, not the stony man, not the thorny man. None of those folks got any fruit or any results in their life, although they heard the same anointed, amazing word. But this man, this woman, they grabbed a hold of that word, and in all the sincerity and honesty of a good heart, they kept it. Somebody say they kept it. Just like Joseph all those years. I said, just like Joseph all those years, slavery didn't get him down, prison didn't get him down. Come on, are you listening? His family letting him down didn't get him down. He had a word from the Lord, and he held on to that word all his life for years and years and years. He thought, I got nothing to be down about. Soon and very soon, that word God showed me as a boy is going to come to pass. I got nothing to be sad about. I got nothing to be depressed about. I can endure this. And until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. It tried his faith. And oh, his faith passed the test. Like gold through the refiner's fire, it is gleaming and shining today in Fort Worth, Texas. We're talking about the faith of this man. And we'll be talking about the faith of Joseph throughout eternity. And the amazing thing is somebody could be talking about your faith.
Amen.
In time to come and in throughout eternity, because we have the same opportunity in front of us. Listen to what the scripture said in the today's English version. It said the seeds that fell on the good soil are those that hear the message and retain it in a good, obedient heart. They persist until they bear fruit. They persist until they bear fruit. Stand on your feet. I've already preached myself happy. I'm telling you, God has shown me some things, and they have not come to pass yet, but that's just yet. Has he shown you some things? Has he put some things in your heart? Friend, you do not have to be discouraged. You don't have to be moved by the passage of time. You don't have to be moved by the circumstances. I want you to say it out loud. None of these things move me. Say it again. None of these things move me. I stand on the Word of God. I will never turn it loose. I will keep it, and it will bear fruit. It shall bear fruit. It has to bear fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in my life. Oh, glory to God. Lift up your hands. Singers, players, would y'all come? Singers, players, would y'all come up? Oh, come on, praise him some more. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.